Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In the dark, I play my dream. Purple coat of gold like sweet springs. I'm the daddy with the nose.
Welcome to episode 352 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living.
Permaculture PIMP, with soulful grace, in a PIMP cast where we find our place.
Oh yeah, good to be here with y'all today. Want to give us hat tip, as always, to Renewed Homestead for handling the chat. And we're not going to be on the typical places that we are tonight because I'm, number one, flying solo, and two, we're still on that two-week hiatus from YouTube because we actually had a guest. I can't even say this without laughing. We had a guest talk about how you can chelate certain things from your body by eating seeds. Now, you know what I find funny is that every single time we get in the timeout, William's channel never gets hit. It's just Permapastures Farm. How about that? So we're just doing it in our regular Permapastures Farm YouTube channel and also on Rumble. And you know the deal. Don't start no SH and there won't be no IT. But, you know, the massive audience that we do have is actually in the audio format. So, look. I'm just glad to be able to do it. And folks, forgive me if I'm still a little bit huffing and puffing. I was just out there weed eating this silvergrass, but I'll come to that in a minute. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Soil Saviors. Yeah. It's how we're cleaning up Western North Carolina, along with all of that awesome biocomplete compost I'm using. And, folks, I'm here to tell you that stuff is the shiznit. I would have already shown you a little bit more in terms of how we use it and other things, but as you know, we are on a two-week break. You know what? It turned out to be a blessing in disguise because, honestly, I'm trying to get ahead of all the stuff. We're still dealing with the stuff from the hurricane from last year, y'all. I kid you not. So things that you find out later on that need attention. But anyway, I'm getting it done, and that's how we're rocking and rolling. So if you need any of that stuff, it's down below. You can see it in our description page, and it is what it is. William's not going to be with us today because he is on assignment. And also a little programming note, there will not be a Thursday show this week. Can't go into the reasons why, but anyway, there will not be a Thursday show this week. I know, please don't send me all the letters of lamentation wishing you could hear this voice. So, yeah, I'll let you know all about it on Monday. Anyway, so let's see what we got going here on the farm. Let's see, our cover no show. Michelle is just finishing up a three-day fast. In fact, as I'm doing this right now, she's probably starting to refeed. So if any of you go out there and you try fasting, look, when it's time, I don't even care if it's a 24-hour fast. If you've never done it before, it's going to feel weird, especially in a Western culture. I got to be honest with you, folks. When you fast for just 24 hours, you'll find out that it's mostly a mental game. As soon as you hit that 24 hours, you're going to be like, huh, that wasn't that bad. But you're going to realize your mind was messing with you. And then when you do a two-day fast, you're going to think, oh, my goodness, what's going on? And then 3 days, same exact thing. Right when it's time for you to hit that finish line, you start thinking, okay, I could go longer if I wanted to. So anyway, when you do refeed, here's what I want to communicate. When you refeed, there's a number of different ways of going about it, but the best one I found out was using the recipe from Dr. Mindy Peltz. And she wrote the book Fast Like a Girl, but it works for a guy as well. I mean, we ain't that different. One of the things that really helped, and I didn't know this the first time I did a 3-day fast, and I didn't complete it because I didn't know, is how important it was to stay high on your electrolytes. If you're not doing that, you're going to have a bad day. So you got to stay cool on that. Make sure your salt's all good. But when you start to refeed, the worst thing you can do is go out and get a doggone pizza. Even though that may, you may feel like that's what you want to do. No, start with something very light. And this is what I got from Dr. Mindy. Something like bone broth. Excellent, excellent way to refeed. And then take about 30 minutes to drink it. So just kind of slow down a little bit. And then if you could also take in something of a, something fermented. Well, especially if you made it at home. So Michelle made a bunch of pickles and sauerkraut and stuff like that from the high tunnel. So I'm sure she's going to partake in some of that. That's how you want to refeed before you get into something bigger. So you don't just start out with, you definitely don't want to start out. Otherwise, you're going to be running to the bathroom if you're anything like me. So yeah, anyway, she's coming to the end of that. And her impetus, well, I'll let her maybe talk about what her impetus was for doing it, but I'm going to start doing a 5-day yearly fast, and I'm going to get back into fasting at least 1 or 2 days a week, 24 hours, maybe 36 hours, depending on what it is. I went a little bit too overboard the last time I was really doing it on a regular basis. I'll be honest with you, folks, to get back to eating normally because I did it so regularly was a tough, tough thing for me to do. I love to eat. Okay. I would have never in a million years thought that getting myself to eat again would have been such a problem. But it also let me know at the same time, because I did it also for tactical reasons, seeing, okay, how many days can I go and still do everything I need to do on the farm and still fast? How could I do that? And I found out the more I did it, the better I got at it. So it's like Mark Sisson talks about, the guy who wrote the Primal Blueprint, that when you do this often enough, you'll find out your body has a certain degree of memory. If you've never fasted before, I mean, don't go out of the gates and do a 3-day fast. You know, start off with just some intermittent fasting. Get used with that. And then, you know, kick it out a little bit more, just an hour maybe. And then 2 hours. And then maybe you do 24 hours. It's really not as hard as you think, and most of it's in your head. So anyway, when you refeed, use something light like bone broth. Okay, somebody said we'll have to settle for the best of instead of lamenting that voice. Yeah, oh, that was Denise, yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe we can go. People, I've never been a regal. I'll give you a little thing that in the radio biz, and also it drives me crazy in the podcast biz too. Is, and I'm not, hopefully it doesn't come off the wrong way, because I know a lot of guys that do this and gals too, where they do a best of show whenever they can't be there. I always thought that was lazy. I've always hated that, whether it was in terrestrial radio. Plus, when I was doing terrestrial radio, we could see real life numbers. Nobody ever listened to those shows. I always thought it was just lazy, or because if you're an avid listener, you already heard it anyway. It just seemed lazy to me, and it definitely seems lazy in the podcast game, because unlike terrestrial radio, you could have recorded that program, you know, long before then and had it ready. Look, I just can't do it. I mean, that's the bottom line. So I don't anticipate ever doing a best of or anything like that. If anything, I would record it early and then put it out the day of. I'm not a big fan of doing the best of. And every time I see podcasters do that, I always cringe a little bit, because in the radio biz, we always knew that that was a one big way. Or whenever you have a fill-in host, your numbers are in the toilet in just about every single case, but not always, but for the most part. All right. So some other things we got going on a lot around here, a lot of harvest going on, eating tomatoes like they're going out of style. Got peppers out here. I'm doing as best I can to eat for circadian health, meaning that I'm eating things that are local and in season. And I am really, really, really trying to do the best at that. Now, you don't necessarily like fasting. You don't do it all at once. You take a piece by piece, you know? So, you know, every day I'm eating things off this farm, and I try to do that all year long anyway, but Don't think we're going to be doing microgreens this year for a whole variety of other reasons. That's another show altogether why I won't be doing that. But, you know, we got peppers, blueberries, peaches, pears. Pears are coming up right now. And, wow, got plenty of those. And, man, you talk about a bumper crop of all of it, man. I can't complain. So Michelle's out there also adding more stuff to the high tunnel. I think she did. She's got some carrots going. And so we're getting hot, hopping and popping on this fall garden. So the idea is, the plan is that I keep experimenting and finding out which diet works best for me. And I've been, you know, I've jumped all over the place. I feel good when I do some, you know, fasting from time to time. I definitely feel cleaner, I guess. You know, even the Bible, it says, when you fast, it's not, you know, it's presupposing that you're already going to do it. So, you know, I'm going to start getting back to a regular fasting regimen. And in addition to that, I am definitely, my new plan right now is to eat as local and as seasonal as possible. So you may be thinking, well, how do you do that through the winter? If you remember Logan, who was on here from Sowing Prosperity, he was talking about, you know, that if you do it in the ancient cultures, they would have eaten a lot of fermented food. And that's exactly what we got going right now. So there's going to be a whole lot of meat in my diet and a whole lot of fat and a whole lot of fermented food. And I'm staying away from anything. Look, avocados didn't grow here, so I've not been eating them. You know, olive oil, even though I got like four bottles of it down there of the really, really, really good stuff, I'm going to have to use it up because I'm not into wasting things. But, you know, just trying to eat as local as possible because, look, if I want to do this work and I want to do it long term, I'm trying to figure out every single way I can to lengthen these telomeres, if you know what I mean. So let's see here. Catching up on the driveway. Now, that's another thing I got going on. That's what I was doing earlier. Went to town, got some rocks, put them down in the driveway. And that's another one of those things that we're still, for the longest time, you couldn't even get rocks around here. They were using them all for the construction projects after the hurricane. So I went to town the other day, got some rocks, and then, of course, working on cleaning out the diverters. You know, it's just the nature. It's that, you know, it's that unceremonious, unattractive kind of work that's the nature of most farm life. It's going to be that stuff that you do the most. So those of you that are considering this life, the people that write to me and say, well, I don't know if this is for me. Look, if you can't do repetitive work, it may not be the ball game for you. I mean, I used to listen to podcasts and stuff like that. Now I do a lot of memorization and stuff like that. I do a lot of other ways to occupy my mind if I'm doing tasks that are repetitive. Or, you know, I got the podcast, instead of wearing those earbuds all the time, I just put it on the truck and, I mean, who's going to complain, man? Look where I live. Nobody's complaining out here, okay? There ain't nobody to complain out here. Okay, so some other things going on. Freeze drying nonstop. That's how much of a doggone harvest we have. And it's not like we've been able to go anywhere and, you know, give a whole lot of this stuff away. So, yeah, the freeze dryer has been running like nobody's business. Michelle's canned a lot of this stuff. And, folks, remember, we talked about this before. You can go ahead and put in a one-acre garden if you want, but it's the harvest that you got to worry about. That's where you're going to have the biggest problem. It's not growing it necessarily. It's putting it up because, and then especially, this is why we've talked about repeatedly having early, mid, and late harvest of certain things, especially when it comes to your tree crops. So if you can do early, mid, and late, you know, even if one gets you have an early frost, okay, you still get the late one. If you got a late frost, you still get the early one and the mid one. So, and it also helps in terms of being able to put everything up when you need to put it up. So here's another little, I don't know if I want to call it a trick, but I talked about it on Patreon. I figure I'll tell everybody else right now. So bone sauce, yeah, you know, it may be great on deer and stuff like that, but it's, you know, you may have a rabbit issue. Well, I'll tell you what's working like nobody's business for me is bouncing that doggone poultry net around the areas where the rabbits, where I don't have any wooden surfaces to put this stuff on, and putting poultry netting around there and electrifying that. Well, good luck trying to get in that, Mr. Rabbit. So that's working like nobody's business. Look, I'm going to talk about some things that we've talked about before. I'm just going to hit them in a different way. Hang on, y'all. Let me get some of this salt water. Got to make that noise or you won't believe I'm actually doing it. All right. terms. I've talked about the equation, and it is an equation. Terms, T-E-R-M-S. That's going to come into play when I talk a little bit later, but a lot of folks wrote to me in that. I guess I didn't go into enough detail about it. So I'll just go ahead and cover it now. Terms, it's an acronym. It stands for time, energy, resources, money, and the most important one to me is sanity. So whenever I'm asked to do anything these days, I put it into that equation. Now, excuse me. Man, I got a frog in my throat. Sorry about that, y'all. Terms. Time, energy, resources, money, and sanity. Should be less than, so you put a less than sign, your ROI, or your return on investment, your FV, or future value, PG, which is your personal growth, and then finally, your lifestyle. If the ROI, the future value, the personal growth, and the lifestyle is not greater than the time, energy, resources, money, and sanity, the answer's got to be no. Can you use this for other things? Absolutely. I'm trying to govern everything I do in terms of that. Now, if you got a friend that needs help, obviously you're going to help them. But when it comes to a business decision or a decision you may make on your property or one where you're thinking about a new enterprise, I put everything into that equation. And now it's to the point now that I can do it mentally. And honestly, the most important, okay, time, energy. I agree. Time is probably the most important asset out there. It's not money. It's time. I agree with Dr. Jack Cruz on that. Time, energy, resources. But honestly, sanity is the one that gets me most. It's like this. Had a friend, in fact, I saw him a couple of weeks ago, asked me to come over and help him move one day. Okay, so he's a friend. He says, yeah. And then you get over there, and they didn't even pack. This has not happened once. This has not even happened twice in my life. This has happened. I mean, you have so little respect for the time of the people helping you that you didn't even, you knew you were leaving for months. And you didn't even have these boxes packed. My oldest brother, same exact thing. Married to this, I won't call her what I think she is, but anyway, she's a tramp. But anyway, he married her. And, I mean, high maintenance tramp at that. Anyway, whole story unto itself. They live in this palatial home. Absolutely palatial. He used to make a good living, and, you know, truth be known, that's why she got on board. But long story short, they won't help moving. We literally drove down from Kansas City to Texas to help them move, and this went on for a month. We were going down there on the weekends to help them move, and not one time was anything packed when we got down there. Not one time. And this is a woman that don't work. I mean, the consummate definition of lazy, like nothing I've ever seen before. So was that worth my sanity? If I put that into the equation, and I know a number of you out there have been in the same exact boat, where somebody wants you to help them do something, but they have so little respect for your time that they don't even bother getting all the things prepared before you got there. Now, there's some things they got to do before you get there. I get that, you know, certain things. But where, you know, you're going out here to go, whatever the case may be. Now you got to ask yourself, is it worth my sanity to help this person ever again? And the answer is going to have to be a resounding no. Yeah. I mean, you're going there to help somebody move their house and they ain't even packed. Yeah. So, or have not taken, I mean, good night, man. If I had a nickel for every single time I've witnessed this, it's really astonishing. But that's just one example I can offer. Time, energy, resources, money, and sanity has to be less than return on investment, future value, personal growth, and lifestyle. And it applies to every part of your life, or it could. So all the folks that were wondering out there, I don't know how, I know I kind of glossed over it before and said, you know, it's something of an equation, but that's it in a nutshell. And for me, and I don't even know the name of the guy who did it. I was listening to Ed Milet's show. And when he talked about it, I was like, you have got to be kidding me, man. That it just sung a chord to me. It just made sense. And so that's how I govern things now. All right. So Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. I would say my bare feet are on this map, but I still got my shoes on because, like I said, it just came in. So, well, actually, I got grounding straps on these shoes. So technically, I am grounded. So if you want one of these or anything like it, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Wave Watch. Michelle's been wearing it all day when she's down there fasting. Huh. Yeah. And she was telling me she's getting some pretty awesome relief out of it. She was fasting. Just look, I won't go into any details. Whenever you have an injury or something like that, that was another thing we got from Dr. Mindy Peltz, is that when you fast, your body goes through a certain degree of autophagy, depending on how long you do it. And depending on the nature of the injury, you may have to go longer to heal faster or to even heal at all in some cases. And she was using the Wave Watch, and she was really feeling the benefits of it today. So Wave Watch, Billy 100 will get you $100 off. And then coming up, East Tennessee Homestead Alliance Festival. That's going to be September 12th and 13th, Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm going to be there. So hope to see some of y'all there as well. All right, I'm going to jump into the good news. Check this out. Leaked audio reveals Israeli general calling for a 50-to-1 death ratio for Palestinians, including children. Now, you may be thinking, well, hold up. I thought this was good news. It's good news because it saw the light of day. They've been doing this stuff forever and a day. I'm just glad this has actually hit the streets. Now, is it going to make any difference for the Hannitys and the Laura Loomers, Larry Loomers, whatever that she is or it is? Is it going to make any difference to those people out there, the Paige Shills? Absolutely not. But you know what? People are starting to wake up and say, hold on, you got a general literally caught on tape saying, yeah, we're basically going to have to do some serious ethnic cleansing over there and just matter of fact way of doing it. So it's starting to see the light of day, and I'm calling that part of it good news. All right, here's another one. And I'm calling this good news as well. China's giant floating wind turbine breaks records, pioneering area of new energy renewable. Now, what I like about this is that it's out there in the ocean. The cool thing about these, and I know it's a zero-sum game whenever you do any kind of solar, wind, any kind of renewable stuff. I mean, there's another type of, I can't remember what they call it, but where when the tide comes in and out, it turns these turbines and it produces power that way. Well, that's a high disturbance. But when you have these windmills are basically sticking up out of the ocean, and yeah, they're causing, I mean, no matter how you generate this stuff, look, it's not like we got the technology of T. Henry Moray and all the other people that have created free energy devices that were all scrubbed off the planet. It's not like we have any of that, but it is cool that China was thinking a little bit out of the box. And I know we got versions of this offshore in the United States. It's not at all efficient. I mean, when you look at the transmission lines, but in terms of all the different ways in which you can generate power, well, this is going to be creating the least amount of disturbance, at least in the way that I see it. So I'm calling that one good news too, because look, everybody's looking to generate power in any way possible. And the way it's getting, well, man, I was about to go really dark here, but I'm not going to do it. So anyway, I'm looking at that as a really good option for generating power, even on a homestead. Think about it, folks. Even if you're putting up a wind turbine, or whether it's a water turbine, let's say you have, for example, a pond that's up high and you're going to water the animals down below. Okay, do you think it might make good sense if you're putting in a pond and you have maybe to put in an inline turbine that can capture some of that DC, you know, that potential energy, which is now, you know, turning these turbines. Now you're sticking in your batteries. You think that might be a good way to keep your fences charged or a number of other things? I mean, there's people like Eustace Mullins that are powering his whole place with these things. A number of other people are doing it too. So the option exists for a lot of stuff that's off the beaten path. No doubt about that. All right. So check this one out. Your phone is dirtier than a toilet seat. Yeah, there's not a, there's, that's not a punchline. It's not a joke, but here's how to clean it without damaging it. Whenever you buy a new phone, I got the iPhone. I don't remember when we got it, but it seems like every single time, you know, you, I don't know, you pay it off, it runs out, the warranty, whatever the case, all of a sudden it doesn't start, it doesn't work right anymore. So anyway, they give you these wipes. You got to do all this. Man, forget a bunch of that stuff. I mean, the article basically says the very same thing I've been doing for years. Grab some doggone rubbing alcohol. Wipe it off. There you go. And it seems like every, that's why whenever somebody wants to hand me their phone and look at something, man, I'm really reluctant to touch it because I know a lot of people take their phones into the bathroom and who knows what's going on up in there. I mean, that's why when somebody wants to hand me their phone, I'm not even trying to grab that thing because I don't know if people are as, I don't think people clean their phones to the extent that I do or as often as I do or at all. So I do not want to touch anybody's phone. I'll be honest with you, because every time I'm like in a shower or something, I'm listening to a podcast or whatever. It's kind of like a functionary thing where I just grab the alcohol, put it on some toilet paper and wipe it off the whole thing. And then even take the whole thing apart, you know, from time to time and wipe it down as well and just scrub it. Because I know what people are doing with these phones. But yeah, it's worse than a public toilet seat. Yeah, alcohol wipes, folks. They're your friends. And I ain't touching your phone anyway, so don't hand it to me. All right, with that said, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, who is your ride or die? Jeff Lawton said one of the best things about creating a permaculture community group is being able to identify who in your community you could live with. It's not many. Even within a permaculture group, it's maybe 5%. Hanging out, talking, working, and eating is one thing. Living together is a whole other ballgame. We can only hide our true personalities for so long. I don't think anyone can predict the future with absolute certainty. I think there are probable futures that are more likely to occur than others. I watched a fascinating interview that predicted we would have a super intelligent AI within a year or two, and that the only way to avoid society devolving into a dystopia is for all the psychopaths running the world to put this super intelligent AI in charge, and that this would actually lead to utopia. But as long as these psychopaths control the AI, we will just get a sped up version of now. More war, more control, more surveillance, more death and destruction. And for me, whenever anyone asks me how to change the world, my answer is always the same. More permaculture, and specifically, more local permaculture groups. I think creating a permaculture community group is the most important thing I've done in my life. I've been thinking about this question for over 20 years, and I honestly can't think of any other answer except gathering together in small groups in person to identify and solve our problems ourselves. I used to use the analogy that the world was a speeding bus heading for a cliff or a wall, but a bus is far too easy to stop. We are more like a giant cruise ship heading full steam ahead towards an iceberg. Can we stop in time, or are we doomed to crash and sink? Then we are left with whatever lifeboats we have created along the way. And there's only so much room in a lifeboat. So do you know what people you would take along with you? You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts, remote permaculture consultation and design, or the official Pimp Gear merchandise, head over to ericsider.com. And for those in the Sacramento area, check out my permaculture community group, permaculturefairoaks.org.
Once again, that's my dog, and he hit it out of the park again. Man, I don't even know where to, I mean, I didn't know that that was so impactful to him, but I know, you know, Eric and I are really great friends, and also, you know, I knew that that was something he was wanting to do for the longest time, so I'm glad he's getting real hay out of it. Man, I wish I could get together more often. I mean, I got people hitting me up about, hey, we're coming to town and, you know, we'd love to do this or that or whatever. And folks, I just don't have the bandwidth. I mean, So it's all I can do just to, I'm just trying to put one foot in front of the other. And I've never been busier in my whole life ever. So, I almost envy. I'm looking to streamline a few things around here, but I got to get over the hump. I got to get the work done, and it has to get done. And if you look at some of my predictions of what I think is on going down, you understand the sense of urgency. All right. So let's see here. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Remember, the biggest thing, the biggest concern you have out there in terms of EMP isn't even an EMP. It's lightning protection, at least when it comes to your house. So, I mean, good night. There is not a better transient voltage surge suppressor on the market than the EMPShield.com. In fact, they stand behind it. If anything gets Kentucky fried downstream, look, they're going to cover you for 25 Gs. Find me anybody else in the business that does that. Ain't going to do it because they are the best and they stand behind it. So PERMA will get you $50 off. All right, folks. This isn't going to be a long one, but I really want to kick this up because I see a lot of the same mistakes. And I got another acronym for you, and it might be PIMP. Okay? I'll come to that right now. PIMP. It's another acronym I got. So the P stands for productivity. Does it provide food, fuel, or income? Okay? I. Integration. You know, does it connect to the other systems you have out there? And folks, I got to say, that is the biggest missing link in most farms. It really is. There's no integration at all for the most part. And if there is, it's not very efficient. Not being critical here. I'm just telling you where you can, I'm doing this for a reason, folks, because when I see a lot of people asking the same questions or you send me pictures or whatever, I'm starting to realize, okay, there's something I need to do here. I need to cover this and we need to talk about it. M, PIM, okay, multifunction. Needs to have at least three solid purposes for every single thing you have out there. And the last P is practicality. Can it maintain without a nightmare of management? Okay. So that's the acronym I'm giving you right now. I'll probably recapitulate with that at the end of it. Look, the reason why I'm talking about this is I go back to that same conversation that William and I talk about all the time where the lady says, hey, let's put the permaculture over there. Just by saying that tells me you don't even understand. You don't have an inkling of an understanding of what permaculture is. It encompasses every single part of your, really, this is why I encourage everybody to get a permaculture design certificate, at least, is so you understand how these things should integrate together, because you may not be thinking about it all. Even if you do have a good understanding of it, you still have other designers look at what you've done or what you're thinking about doing, because I guarantee you have blinders, myself included. You know, Eric, when we first bought this place, he came out here and looked around, you know, told us about what he would do and how he'd go about it. So, and then you have three of us here that are all permaculture designers. And so we're all, but when you're so close to something, you don't necessarily think about all the wonderful things. Then you may have neighbors come look at it. The number one problem is the I, as I see it, the integration, and why things are arduous or just tough, and why you're not able to. There should be a relationship, for example, with your chickens and your garden. They should have, in fact, there is not one thing on your farm that shouldn't be tangentially related to everything else on your farm. Your worms should have some sort of relationship with your trees, believe it or not. Your trees should have some sort of integration, whether it's to a first or second degree, with your ruminants. Your ruminants should have some degree, to some extent or another, believe it or not, with your chickens. And your other ruminants, if you have them out there. Okay, all of these things should touch one another if it's to be efficient, if it's to make sense. You know, efficiency, resiliency, redundancy, we talk about that sort of thing all the time in permaculture. Well, and then you got to, because we live in a reductionistic culture, what I mean by that, the reason why permaculture is such a hard sell for most Americans is that they've grew up in a very reductionistic world, meaning, oh, you got high blood pressure? Let's give you some of this lisinopril. Let's not talk about why you got high blood pressure. Oh, you got this ailment? Let's give you this pill. Let's give you that. We live in a reductionistic world where we think, okay, here's the problem. We got one solution. We don't realize that there could be a holistic solution. And it could work really well. For example, and Greg Judy talks about this all the time, especially when you talk to him in person. He calls it the Columbus method when it comes to raising cows in America. They basically stick them out in the field. They make, you know, they have water. They look at them maybe once. They're lucky if they get looked at once a day, but usually it may be in a lot of cases once a week. Okay, they go out there. The farmer goes out there, looks at them, and they stay there until winter rolls around, and then they're dumping a bunch of hay out there. Now, meanwhile, the pasture is absolutely decimated because they don't move, okay, at all. And the place is absolutely decimated. He calls that the Columbus method, that you go find them in the fall or something, you know, or you find them in winter. You put them out there, and then you find them later. Greg goes in a lot of detail out there, but what I'm saying is, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a regular homestead or farm. And if you're doing a one thing operation, yeah, you may be new to this and that's a good place to start. But if you're not thinking about how to integrate other things into it, you're leaving a lot of money and you're leaving a lot of wonderful things on the table. For example, if you have an orchard out there and you're not thinking, oh, gee, is there a way I could leverage my chickens to work with this orchard? Is there a way I could leverage my sheep or my cows or whatever else to work with this orchard? Huh. Can my orchard provide some sunlight, even food, as I'm going to show you? I think I got the video. The video's down there, and it's all ready to rock and roll. Hang on one sec, folks. All right, sorry about that. This dog is in here. Get out. This dog is in here making a racket. Anyway, sorry for the... There should be an integration to all these things if you're looking to do anything even slightly permaculture with it. For example, chickens. Okay, they can be stationary, and you can do it responsibly. So what are you getting out of this system? Okay, remember I said you should at least have three. Okay, you get eggs, should get meat, fertilizer, and if they're moving, they should be pest control. But even if they're stationary, can you get that same benefit? Yeah, you can. Absolutely, you can. You can do these things, and that's where you use your carbon pathways. So if they're going to be stationary, and you can do it with pigs, you can do it with other things as well. You can leave them absolutely stationary, but you better have a really good supply of carbon, okay? Because they're going to need that carbonaceous diaper, as Joel Salatin calls it, if they're not able to do it out in the field. So if they are sequestered in a place, you need lots of carbon to cover that poop up. And then you could use other things like Joel does, where he puts down fermented corn. And then, you know, the cows, they do their thing in there, and then he brings in the pigs. The pigs go absolutely nuts because they're trying to get that fermented corn that they, and pigs' noses are fantastic. Well, for that greenhouse, do you think he used it for a bunch of different operations? You bet he did. Absolutely he did. But in that chicken tractor alone, if you have them in a static environment, which a lot of people do, and of course they're not worried about, you know, putting any carbon down for the most part. If you don't get that carbon down, you're going to have a stinky mess. But if you do put that carbon down, you could have some really, really, you could use it as a deep bedding method. Okay, when it gets about a foot or 2 feet high, okay, you scrape off the top and then you use all the rest of it. I mean, you probably got some decent compost down there. Okay, so you've got that added in there as well. So look at a food forest or an orchard. So you got the fruit itself, you got animal fodder, especially if you stick a bunch of nitrogen fixtures out there, you got mulch, you got habitat for birds, especially don't forget about your wildlife because they play a massive role in there. You got shade for the animals, and also if you thought about it good, you should have firewood, okay? I got all those things. Right there, every single time I coppice back one of my black locusts, which burns super hot, I'm making bone sauce out of it, okay? I need fuel to make bone sauce, and I can't make it indoors, and I need it to be a very specific temperature. Well, that black locust burns really, really hot, and I can temper that stuff really, really well. So do you think I might have a good solution for that? So you could take all these things, but you're missing part of the equation if you don't have animal systems in here. Now, you can get away with it. You can absolutely run an orchard out there without adding any animal systems in it. You can absolutely do that. But is it going to sing as well as if you're able to put animals, even if they're not integrated into it, even if they're in close proximity? Let's say everything is on contour. Okay, so the animals, you may have a net around there that they can't access the trees and stuff like that. But if they poop in the laneway between rows, and all of a sudden it rains and the rain goes down up against those trees, do you think they got the benefit of that? Absolutely. So that's exactly what we do. That's some basic examples right there. Like another basic example, compost pile, that's waste management, soil fertility. Well, if you use it right, and one of the experiments, it's not even an experiment. One of the things I'd love to do is create hot water in the winter with a compost pile. I mean, if it's up to 130 degrees, do you think I might be able to heat water with that? Absolutely, you could. You got worm food out there. You got all of it. So there's at least, those are basic examples of how you can stack your functions in a big way. Those are very basic examples. Let me give you some more other advanced methods that you could use. Okay, like water systems. Okay, ponds. Irrigation. Especially if you're using those ponds the way, you know, a lot of farms do, where, you know, once I get the funds and everything, I intend to put ponds further up this mountain. And then if you look at the way that other people do it, like Greg Judy and Joel Salatin, like Joel has a 1,000-foot horizon on his property is the way I do here. And of course, they have enough water pressure to be able to gravity feed that water from up in the mountain where they put it and bring it down where it needs to go. So you got the pond itself. Okay, there's fish in there if you're smart about it. You got irrigation, serious wildlife habitat. So look, that's another harvest you can get out of there. You think the rabbits and the deer might want something to do with that? Or even a bear, like if you're where we are? Okay, you think that might be a pretty good microclimate for cooling? Also, when you have a pond out there, you can use that microclimate around that pond. And this is one of my favorite things to do, is to extend the life of a particular tree that ordinarily would be dying back. So you can use the specific heat of that water to maintain that temperature from the sun all day to provide a little bit of heat during the night. Believe me, it works like nobody's business, and it works very, very well. That's another advanced technique. I mean, sheep in the orchard, I would call that an advanced technique. They're mowing the grass, they're fertilizing the trees. What are they providing you? They're providing wool if you have that kind of sheep, and they're providing meat. Not to mention the hoof trample. I mean, I don't think enough people realize the benefit of that, of what their hoofs are doing in that soil. I don't think enough people consider what they're doing there. They're creating enough disturbance to really, really make that soil sing. Not to mention all of their excrement, their urine, all those wonderful things, and they're getting rid of problems that I have out there. That's one of the videos I hope to put out this week. Still got to, work on doing some editing on that, but hopefully I'll get that out soon, because I think that's a really big game changer as far as an advanced way of integration. Okay, fencing. Okay, obviously your boundaries, your trellis, your windbreaks, all those things, predator deterrent, obviously. Now, they could be natural fences. I've talked before about how if you wanted to use a natural fence, maybe you want to put, as crazy as it may sound, put multi-floor rows all, if you can't afford woven wire or something like it, maybe put multi-floor rows all the way around that place. Believe me, ain't nobody and nothing trying to get through there, okay? It's like the hedgerows in World War II. Nobody wants to get through there. And then other advanced thing is like a greenhouse. Now, that's depending on how it's used. And think of the integration. That's why I said stack functions like a pimp. Could you use a greenhouse on the south side of your house? Think that might be helpful? Number one, it's really close to your zone zero. And I call a greenhouse that's attached to your home a zone 0.5. You're not even in the zone one. So, I mean, you think about that. You're extending your growing season. I mean, why not use it as a clothes dryer? Put your firewood in there. You know, it could be like a solar kiln. Like we use one of them right now for that very reason. That's how we dry our wood out in record time. It could be passive heating for the house. That's a very advanced technique. I mean, think about mushroom logs and stuff like that. I mean, not only if you inoculate places with mushrooms, that's another way of being able to, first of all, pigs are really good at wherever you disturb the ground with pigs, you're probably going to have, you're going to see a lot of mushrooms. Okay. Guaranteed it. Guarantee it. Now, those mushrooms are also food. It's going to be a soil inoculant to a certain extent, shade and habitat. But honestly, the mushrooms are the internet and the mouth of the forest. They are tearing stuff down because a new forest rises on an old one. Well, what do you think makes all that possible? Your mycelium layer, which I think really ought to be considered the eighth layer of a forest. Hugelkultur beds. Other ways where you can also combine your mycelia or your mushrooms into that hugelkultur bed, depending on how it's done. I mean, I've seen people do it where the mounds basically have wood sticking out of it, and then they inoculate the edges of the logs. Could you do that? Absolutely. I mean, fertility, water retention, raised space for growing, and honestly, the way I use it around here, it's also a fighting position, should it come to that. So not only could it be a good medium to grow food and stuff on, but it's also, should the worst ever happen, you might ask yourself, could I use it as a LPOP or a listening post observation post? Could I use it as a fighting position? Because in most examples, you probably ain't going to get a 50 cal to even shoot through a hugelkultur mound if you did it right. So silvopasture, that's what I would call a very advanced technique, but it's not that difficult. That's when you combine your trees and your animals, and of course it equals shade, feed, and a diversified habitat. That's exactly what we've been doing over here on the side of this mountain, is creating something of a hugelkultur, not hugelkultur, but a silvopasture area where you're integrating these trees. Now, it doesn't even have to be your old growth trees in those cases. It could also mean your orchards. I just don't understand why more people don't do this. I mean, to my understanding, we were the only ones to this day that I've ever seen that ever truly used animals in that setting, where we run them in and out of where the trees are. It's my favorite way of doing silvopasture. You have the benefit, you have the blessings of everything. You talk about a high degree of integration where everything is benefiting. So the animals are benefiting from the shade once the trees get big enough. Until then, you got to provide it if need be. But they're also creating an area where you never have to mow. And trust me, folks, this year I found out that every single time I don't run that weed eater, the pollinators are off the charts. Because every time you run your mower out there, every single time you run your weed eater out there, you're killing habitat for your pollinators. But your sheep, they're going to eat around those things. Your cows, they're going to eat around those things. They're not going to wipe it all out like a human would do. And that's exactly that scorched earth policy is what we do every time. Now, look, I get it. There are times where you just don't have a choice. But why not let the animals do it for you? And then think about how many more harvests you got out of the same piece of ground. It's astonishing, really, when you get down to brass tacks on a lot of this stuff. So I'll tell you one of the biggest pitfalls here, and we've talked about it numerous times right here on this show, is doing too many things too quick. That is the number one killer of most farms. This is why most farms fail, or for at least people that are new to it. You got too many functions going. Okay, so maybe you just start out with the gardening. I know people think chickens are the gateway drug to homesteading. I disagree. I think it's gardening, and I think it should be gardening, because if you don't get it right, I mean, you didn't kill the animal, okay? Yeah, you're killing a tree, or you're killing a shrub, or you're killing a plant. You're killing something, possibly. But you can get over that a little bit easier than you can when you just killed a bunch of rabbits or you killed a bunch of chickens. In fact, there was a time when the old guy that ran this this local farm store next to me, he quit selling chicks altogether because the same people, I mean, man, you talk about some idiots. The same people would go in there and buy chickens because they had killed the first three batches that they bought. I'm like, okay, we're not fusing DNA here, man. It's raising chickens. But anyway, for a time there, he got rid of them simply because, you know, these people just had too many things going all at the same time. You can't figure out how to orchard. You can't do you can't do cows. You can't do all these other things all at the same time. We're going to make your life a living hell. Trust me. You're going to make your life a living hell. That is the number one. Not planning for maintenance. That's another one too. Now, that was a pitfall that nearly bit me in the butt until recently, and I've talked about it. And that's where I brought those sheep, and I put them out in the orchard because, honestly, we have been going a mile a minute for months now. And look, I chose this life. This is what I do, but it means a lot of other things and a lot of social engagements and things like that, or, you know, people asking me to do certain things and go certain places or speak at conferences and stuff like that. Look, I don't care what you're paying me, man. The answer's got to be no. At the end of the day, it has got to be no unless it makes sense, the terms make sense, you dig? But not planning for maintenance. Being so busy and getting too many irons in the fire bit me in the butt. And so out of necessity, I put the sheep out there, and it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. I mean, I hypothesized that it was going to work well anyway, but I couldn't have dreamed how well it did work. I wasn't even going to let them have access until next year. But I was thinking, okay, the amount of time that it's going to take for me to put these cages around all these blueberries, man, that's just going to be a nightmare. I don't want to fool with it. But I did it, and it turned out to be one of the best decisions I made in recent days. And folks, I'm going to keep doing it. It's working that well. I kid you not. And it's another, and it added, when I looked at it all, it added, in terms of my rotation, I was thinking I was going to have to get rid of more animals this year. In fact, I don't think I have to. In fact, I may not have enough. So, I'm sitting here doing the calculus in my head, and I'm thinking, wow, I just added maybe another 10 to 12 days to my rotation on my animals just by giving them access to this. So I am going now. There's going to be some corrections I make in the future. But good night, man. It turned out to be a blessing in disguise, but that usually doesn't work out that well for most people. Not when you got a regular 9-to-5. Not planning for maintenance can make all the difference in the world. And then forgetting the fail-safe. You know, IG, livestock trampling a sapling if it's not protected. Okay, that goes back to putting those cages around there. But if you leave them too long, cage or not, they're going to knock that thing over. And even something as humble as a sheep will do incredible damage if they are not managed. So you got to have that management down pat, okay? Remember, PIMP, productivity, integration, multifunction, and practicality. If you're not putting all those things, that's what I'm calling a pimp method. Look, that's why I said stack your functions like a pimp. Do I have it all down? No, but I got a lot of it so far. I mean, I really believe that, and I'm learning more all the time. I'm always, every single time I do something, I'm trying to find a way to make it simpler, easy, and make more sense, where I can get more done with less work. And being able to use the sheep in the capacity we've had, okay, that's let me see, 6-7 days, maybe 10 days out of the year that Michelle is not weed eating. Okay, do you think we can put those efforts elsewhere? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So if you give them access, if you think about these things, folks, it can free up so much time. Now, for me, the number one problem is making sure I don't fill the time I made with some superfluous nonsense, or getting myself mixed up into things I shouldn't be a part of. And I don't mean in a very, very bad way. I'm saying I'm fast approaching the day of not helping people who don't help themselves. And I mean that in terms of philanthropy. I got a number of reasons, and I'll probably talk about that in the future, maybe even do a video on it. But I'm realizing, I never realized in my life how many people have this welfare mentality. I just can't get over it. And I ain't talking just black folks, y'all. I'm talking more people all the way around, have this welfare mentality. And so you go out there with the best of intentions trying to help somebody, and then you realize, man, these people are not even helping themselves. And I'm putting in more work for their efforts than they are for themselves. So it's things like that that I got to make sure I don't get mixed up in. And in the future, when I feel it's right, I'm going to talk about it, because I think that can be, I know there's so many people out there that do things all for the right altruistic reasons. And you may have everything as squared away on your farm as humanly possible. You may have the best setup of everybody. Of any farm I've ever seen, nobody has a better understanding of zoning than Danny and Wanda down at Deep South Homestead. I don't think anybody has a better understanding of zoning. The most efficient farm and people that I've ever seen in my life. And that's why I went there the first time. I'm like, there is no way on earth two people are doing all this. Not only do they do everything they're telling you, they're doing a whole lot more. And that was one of the big takeaways I walked away from there. And the reason they're able to do so much is because of zoning. Absolute zoning. If you don't zone this stuff right, if you don't use this pimp technique I'm talking about that I'm describing here, you're going to be chasing your tail. And every single time, not every single time, but I've seen so many times where it'll be a husband and wife that go out here. And if you can't explain, now this will save you a lot of time right here. If you can't explain the why as to why something is where it is, if you can't explain that why, if somebody, imagine somebody were to walk up to you and you had to answer them and they say to you, why do you have this orchard here? And if you can't tell them why, and if it's not some nonsense, look, biggest way to tick me off is tell me, well, I just feel like it ought to be here. Okay. All right. There needs to be some empirical data here. If you operate on, I feel like, then okay, you're not a person I ever want to work with. There needs to be some data here. If you can't explain why your chickens are there, or why you've come up with this, not because anybody's putting you, imagine somebody came up to you and said, why are you doing this? If you can't, even in the imaginary world, explain the reasons why you have this put there or that put over there and the integration in which they have to one another. If you can't explain that, then you probably don't have a good design. In fact, I'd wager that it's almost certain that you don't have a good design. All right, y'all. Look, William will be back next time. And for those that came in late, remember, we're not going to have a Thursday show this week. I'll tell you why Monday next week. But anyway, got a lot going on out there, and I'll keep you guys all abreast. Hopefully I'll come out of the timeout later on this week. Want to give a shout out to Renewed Homestead as always in, you know, working the chat and thanking everybody for in the live show tonight. So this is where we're going to do it from here on out. It's not going to be on the perma. It's going to be here on this channel. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for your support. Until next time, stay alert, stay alive.
From the smallest sprout to the harmony begin in the cycle of life, where the magic's alive. Tune it to the beat, feel the vibe and thrive.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.